Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God,
have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Will be forever. Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong and nothing is whole, multiply your mercy on us, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Trinity is from Micah chapter 7. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquities and passing over transgressions for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you.
I call to God, and the Lord will save me. He redeems my soul in safety.
The epistle is from 1 Timothy. Chapter 1. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to be his service through my life. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed from me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life,
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There are two popular ways this very popular parable of the lost sheep and coin are sorely misunderstood by so many. The first way is to use it as motivation for evangelism, as if what Jesus is trying to teach us here is that we need to get out there and find the lost sheep and coin. In this misunderstanding, the idea is that the 99 sheep or 9 coins are those already found and kept safe. They are the people already in your congregation on your membership roster. The lost sheep or coin out there is someone who has not yet heard the good news about Jesus, and then we are the man and woman in the parable who searches for and finds the lost sheep or coin. But this is to completely turn the parable on its head and to entirely miss the point. The 99 sheep and 9 coins are the Pharisees and the scribes who need no repentance. They are the ones grumbling about Jesus receiving sinners and eating with them. They believe they are righteous in and of themselves, and they are scandalized by the fact that Jesus is receiving and eating with the lowlifes of society. Those people. Jesus is calling them to repentance with the parable and explaining to them why it is that he has come. Namely, to search out and seek those who are sick, those who are lost, and bring them into his kingdom. This is a constant theme that Jesus puts before us in the Gospels. He did not come for the well, but for those who are sick. Not for the righteous, but for sinners. He's the man in the parable who leaves the 99 in the open country to fend for themselves in order to go out and search for the one who is lost. He's the woman who searches for and finds that one lost coin and then squanders the 9 coins in order to throw a big party in honor of the one he has found. That's the point of the parable. Jesus is the one who seeks and finds, not us. We are the lost sheep, the lost coin. And the warning here is clear, that we must ever see ourselves as the one who needs Jesus to seek and find us, lest we end up among the 99. That's the first way it's often misunderstood. The other popular way this parable is misunderstood, especially in our day and age, is to overemphasize the fact that Jesus receives and eats with sinners to the point of saying that Jesus loves all people just as they are and welcomes everyone, no matter what they believe or how they live or who they love, and so forth. Very popular misunderstanding today. That goes along with all those things you see on Facebook and in other social media outlets where people claim to have a grasp of Christianity but reveal that their understanding of Christianity is that there should never be any judging and that God just loves everybody how they are. But this too is to turn the parable on its head and miss the point entirely. The lost are those who know they are lost. They know they are sick. They know they are in need of rescue, and they find that rescue only in Jesus. Only Jesus can impart that healing balm as we just sung a moment ago. These are those who are repentant. That is, they are sorry for their sins and brought to cling to Jesus alone, who takes their sin away. If they are not sorry for their sins, if they have no desire to turn from their sinful ways, but wish to live how they please and believe what they want and do whatever they fancy, they are no better than the Pharisees and the scribes. and they will be left in the open country to fend for themselves. And in that open country is where the wolves come to devour. The parable then is quite clearly a call to repentance. And it is a call to repentance not for those people, but for you and for me. We are the lost sheep and coin. We are the ones in need of rescue, for we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not fulfilled the law. We have not loved God and neighbor as we ought. We need to confess. We need to echo the words of St. Paul, saying, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." We need to cry out with the psalmist, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins." The tax collectors and sinners Jesus received, and those he ate with that scandalized the religious people, were those who were led by the Holy Spirit to heed this call to repentance. They weren't drawing near to Jesus to have their cake and eat it too. They weren't coming to Jesus because he condoned their sin and celebrated their lifestyles and way of living. They were not at all like those today out there who justify their sins and then, amazingly, demand that everyone else accept them for who they are and what they do. No. The tax collectors and sinners are those who heard the preaching of the law and the word had cut them to their heart. They were contrite, sorry for their sins, and they wanted to do better. They found their answer in Jesus. This is where Christ was different than any other person they had ever heard. He offered them actual ointment for their wounds, gospel, good news for their ears, food for their souls, and comfort for their burdened consciences. Through their example, we see who the recipients of the gospel truly are. They are those who recognize their sin and despair of their own power and work. With such is the grace of God powerful enough to give comfort. For to such is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ delivered and received. The gospel that is the good news, that Jesus came to save them with his perfect life and sacrificial death, that he did fulfill all the law that they are unable to fulfill, and that he gladly bore their burden of sin upon his own shoulders, paying for it all with his holy and precious blood on the cross. For such sinners in need, for such lost sheep and coins, Jesus is Savior, not life coach or buddy or cheerleader, but Savior. He is the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Dear friends in Christ, on this third Sunday after Trinity, learn the lesson. Heed the warning. You are the lost sheep and coin. You sing, "I once was lost, but now am found," but that is something you should sing every day, for you daily sin much. You have gone astray in many and various ways. That is a truism that is true of each and every one of us sinful human beings this side of glory. Admit it. Confess it. Repent. Follow the example of the tax collectors and sinners Jesus received and ate with. Draw near to Jesus, for he does have the words of eternal life. He is the God who pardons your iniquity and passes over your transgressions. He has compassion on you. He has healing for your wounds, medicine to make you well. And the good news, the amazing, almost unbelievable news is that he loves you. Though you have failed him so many times, he loves you. He searched for you and he found you. He brought you out of the wilderness, bearing you upon his blood-stained shoulders, picked you up and brought you to the baptismal font, washed away your sins, and brought you into his fold. If you want to know if God loves you, remember your baptism. And if you want to know if God continues to love you, remember that he searches you out here and finds you each time you are gathered together for divine service in his church. For here he comes to forgive your sins anew, to wash them away with his blood, to feed you upon the sweet honey of his word, and upon the very body and blood he gave and shed for you, to save you from all your sins on the cross in the Holy Supper. This is the Good Shepherd that saves. This is the Good Shepherd who seeks and finds those whom he has chosen to redeem and save. And the angels rejoice over this. They join their voices to ours here at the holy altar, singing praises to the Lamb who takes away your sin and fills you with his mercy, love, and peace, even with his very life. All of that, only for sinners, only for those who recognize their need, only for those who are sick, that they might be made well. That, dear friends, is what this parable is about. And really, that is what our entire Christian religion is about. The good news that we have a God who loves us by coming in our flesh to save us. That we have a God who does pardon iniquity and passes over transgressions. That we have a God who is gracious toward us, who considers our afflictions and troubles and forgives all our sins. We have a God who is not far from us, but who draws near to us, comes to be among us, whose presence is here in his divine service, where he comes to physically and tangibly give you the forgiveness, life, and salvation you need. Come then to the feast with fellow repentant sinners and rejoice that you and they have been found. Come and eat with Jesus, for he receives and eats with sinners. He receives and eats with you. Come and rejoice and be strengthened in the faith that saves. Be strengthened in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And depart in peace, not to go out and boast about any of it. Not to go out and thank God that you're not like other sinners, but to go out and live that life of love, to have mercy and compassion on others, to be a spokesman for peace and a distributor of love. That's what Jesus does for you, and the angels rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Gracious Lord, defend your holy church throughout the world. Keep her safe from all harm and danger. Defend those who suffer for your name's sake and give them boldness to confess the salvation Jesus has won for us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless the pastors and teachers of your holy church, that they would rightly defend the faith. Preserve them from all error, false belief, or other great shame and vice. Bless the preaching of your law, that we might not be caught unawares by the snares of Satan. And bless the preaching of the gospel, that many would join in the feast of salvation and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Bless all our families, and especially on this day, all called to the vocation of fatherhood, that they might faithfully provide and care for those entrusted to them in both body and soul. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Teach all your children true humility, that we learn to confess our sin rather than excusing or denying it. Keep us safe from all pride and arrogance, which would lead us to disdain our fellow Christians who have received your mercy. Rather, make us to rejoice at the patience you have shown to us all in forgiving our many trespasses. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Support and defend all those who are facing any trials or tribulations in their lives, those in any want or need, those who are burdened with animosity in the home, workplace, or community, those who are suffering from illness or in any other way, especially those who have requested our prayers, including Bill Harmon, David Gursky, Marlene Miller, Ella Shaw, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Scott McCullum, Landon Cole, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd Duby, James Whiting, Maxine Cole, David Jerry Gerard, Sherry Shaw, Pastor Dan Chambers, Sally Messer, Chris Woodrow, Miriam Sohn, Cameron Snell, John Lemmerman, Randy Bradley, and Kimberly Tolk. Give strength and endurance in the midst of all difficulty, and if it be your will, grant restoration and relief. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, you call all your penitent children to the feast of Holy Communion. Grant that we who feed on this most holy feast of Christ's very body and blood today would delight in the common forgiveness you provide for us all, and make us ready to shower your love to one another. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy Father, your Son is victor over death and the grave. Receive our praise this day for all who have fallen asleep in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life in him. Grant us also the grace to live in your fear, die in your faith, and rise in the light of your presence. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
In your great mercy, you have had compassion on us. Make us to remember your love in the days to come, that we might ever give thanks and praise to you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, who with you and the Holy Spirit are one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We invite the fathers in our congregation to come forward for a blessing and a prayer this morning. The rest of you may be seated. First, let us pray. Heavenly Father, a few minutes ago we petitioned you on behalf of all fathers. Now we place the fathers in our midst before your gracious throne and beseech you on their behalf. As a father provides for the needs of his children and brings them up with love and discipline, so you provide for your holy church. Bless these men, that they may be strengthened as Christian fathers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth, and grant that their children may love and honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Give them joy this day, O God, which we have set aside in our calendar year to remember and honor them. May the love, honor, and respect their children show them on this day be a reflection of the love you have for them and for all your children. Grant this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Dear fathers, the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be and remain with you always. Amen. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
body of Christ given for you. The very 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 body of Christ given for you. May the Lord bless and keep you. The very body of Christ given for 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 you. Thank you.
this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.